Welcome to the Chainlink podcast. In this episode, you hear a conversation about the intersection of AI and blockchains between Chainlink co-founder Sergey Nazarov and Eric Schmidt that took place at SmartCon 2023.
Hi, Eric. Thank you for joining us at the conference. I really appreciate you joining us once again this year and taking the time to share your thoughts with us. Thank you.
Sergey, it's really great to be back. Chainlink has continued to do well, even with the entire market going up and down and up and down. It's a testament to your team and the leadership that you have provided it.
Oh, that's always very nice to hear. Thank you. I think there's a lot of great things happening in both the blockchain industry and the AI industry. And we've seen more and more intersections between those two growing industries that are very important for how the world works. So I really am hopeful to hear your thoughts on this. At a high level, I think it'd be great to hear initially your thoughts on the most positive developments you're seeing in AI and what you feel are some of the biggest risks that you're concerned with.
Well, the big story, of course, in the last year since we met in public was the arrival of ChatGPT and all the LLMs. And today there are roughly four frontier models, the one that Google is producing, OpenAI GPT-4, a competitor, which is a startup called Anthropic, Claude 2, and another competitor, which is called Inflection, with something called PI. Each of them is planning on spending $100, $200, $300 million to train these things. And most of that money goes into hardware costs, electricity, that sort of thing. This is something new in my industry. It used to be that you could enter software and just with a small team, if you got it right, you could monetize it, selling it or advertising or what have, and off you go. The arrival of these new frontier models with their very high training costs and their unpredictability is a whole new phase for computer science, and I frankly think for the world.
Got it. Makes sense. So there's some kind of winner-take-all dynamic to a certain degree because of the costs and the capital efficiencies those folks get. Is that right?
Well, let me tell you that I, for the first 6 months of the year, I gave that speech and then I realized something, that I could be completely wrong. Maybe you always thought that, but all of a sudden you realize that maybe this sort of religion that you speak could actually be wrong because the technology is changing so fast, it's hard to even comprehend the rate. Now, I'll give you a good example. The A100s, which is what the generation a year ago used from NVIDIA, have been replaced by a new chipset called the H100s, and they're roughly three times faster at a roughly similar price point. People who've looked at this with the changes in algorithms have said that if it cost $100 million under the old chip, now it costs roughly $25 million to train. But guess what? There's another upgrade now in place already, which is 50% faster. And then there are rumors of unannounced products, which are an order of magnitude faster. So one way to think about it is that what cost $100 million last year in 3 or 4 years might cost $1 million or $2 million. So all of a sudden, that says that the power of these LLMs, broadly speaking, the four that I named who are spending enormous amounts of money on this, might in a few years be available to sort of anyone with $1 million or $2 million of training and the right hardware. And that also tells you that there's going to be a proliferation problem because the frontier models spend an awful lot of time making sure the models know only good things and they don't know bad things, things that can harm people, things like how do I kill myself? How do I make a bad bomb or a drug or what have you? And as this technology democratizes, it will both become more available, which is good, more powerful, which is good, but also we'll have less control over it. And that's a concern.
Yeah, makes sense. Do you see any big risks in terms of how people interact with this technology publicly in the news or social media? We have a concept called the verifiable web, where you can prove things through cryptographic truth and you can make sure that in this verifiable web world, you know certain things to be true. And AI's ability to generate information and generate kind of visions of the world that may or may not be true, is that something that you think is a big risk that needs to be solved?
There are so many benefits and so many concerns. I was at a conference this weekend where someone was asked this question and he said, 10 out of 10, best thing in the world, 10 out of 10, most worrisome thing I've ever seen in the world. I think both are true. So here are the things to think about. We're going to end up with an AI doctor that helps all doctors lift up the quality and nurse practitioners, their training globally in somebody's language for medical care. We're going to end up with AI teachers of one kind or another, tutors, et cetera, which in anyone's language and in their culture will allow them to learn in the way that they best learn to the maximum ability that they wish to. Those alone are going to change health and education in really profound ways and in the next 5 to 10 years. And I can go on. The notion of looking at millions of combinations of drugs in order to find the best one, humans can't do that, but computers can. All sorts of breakthroughs in material science, solutions for climate, energy. A lot of energy is density of power, how long things can hold. All of those things can be improved using AI. I can just go on and on and on. The negatives are also quite serious. What happens when your best friend is a computer? Now, for you and me, we have real friends, and we've developed those friendships over decades. But what about a 13-year-old boy or a girl who's a little confused about how adult society works and so forth and isn't old enough to have seen the various patterns? What happens when they index on a computer as their most supportive friend and not the appropriate girl or boy, teenager type? So you see my point. We just don't know. And as the technology gets smarter, we're going to end up in a situation where we're coexisting with these things. So I'll give you my simple principle. I think that everyone will end up being twice as productive because of AI. You as a CEO, me as whatever I am now, the writers, the producers, the doctors, the physicists, the entertainers, everyone will get amplified, which in my view is a good thing. Now, with respect to the problems, one of the core issues here is provenance. The way these systems work is they suck in an enormous amount of data, and then they generate new stuff. Now, today, they can't tell you where the source of their particular component was because they've averaged over 1 million copies. But they can certainly tell you one thing, which is that they're fake, right? That they were synthesized. And so we're going to have to get organized to a world where we know that this was human generated, we know that this was computer generated, and we know who did it. Now, this is anathema to the social media companies who are always looking for more controversial content in order to drive engagement, which drives revenue. So at some point, either they or the government will figure out how to have what you call a trusted or verified web. And that what's going to happen is they're going to figure out how to know where this came from, who the author was, how to give them credit or hold them responsible. I would argue furthermore that, and you and I've talked about this a little bit, the notion of blockchains makes the most sense when you have a system where people don't trust their governments, and Bitcoin being a very good example. There are plenty of others. But let's think about namespaces, right? That I am Eric is something which I wouldn't necessarily trust a government to certify. I want to self-certify, and I want you to self-certify yourself. That goes deeply into this question of how does Chainlink know that I really am Eric? So this is a profound platform for Chainlink, but more importantly, it's profoundly needed because we built the web without having an accurate sense of identity. And the lack of identity means we just don't know what's going on.
Right, makes sense. So on the one hand, there's no attribution to when the AI uses certain information, and maybe then the value of that information isn't paid for, even though it's quite valuable in the AI world. Sure. And then the other side of it is when you don't know when something is actually attributed to a specific source, and so you don't know what the interests are of the of the system or the AI. Is that
and
right?
It's not only that, very well said. And let me tell you that in 2024, we have very significant elections in the United States, in India. I don't need to tell you all this. And also in Europe and maybe in a few other countries. It's going to be a total mess because the proliferation of open source models means that a single individual, I'll pick the state of Oregon, sitting in Oregon in the basement in the farmhouse can create an entire ecosystem of fake people, right? Literally simulations of people, artificial people. And those artificial people can subtly and carefully promote this individual's agenda. Now, if this person is Mother Teresa, I'm all for it. But most of these people are whack jobs, right? They don't believe in truth. They don't believe in any sort of preconceptions of reality. And so all of a sudden, they're busy spewing all of this. And it ultimately just drives distrust in society, distrust in democracy. It drives the conspiracy theories. I'm so tired of all these conspiracy theories. Let's go back to, did humans land on the moon or not, right? It's just literally that insane. And we're giving these tools to people who are kind of, as I said, off their rockers. And because the social media companies give them a voice and boosting, they have unusual reach. I'm not arguing that my friend in Oregon that I'm describing shouldn't have friends in Florida and correspond. I'm in favor of free speech, but that person in Oregon should not automatically have 10 million people who believe they're complete falsehoods. That's an error in society.
Right. So basically what you're saying is there's a kind of anti-spam or civil resistance problem where the cost of flooding the system has gotten so low that even the average owner of a, you know, server with very relatively basic understandings of AI models can flood the system. And so
it's actually worse than that. It turns out that the recent work based on ChatGPT and Llama 1 have resulted in packages. An example would be Alpaca Vicuna, which are so well done that they fit on your computer. One computer in one person's basement with a good internet connection can create all this havoc. It used to be that you had to have an enterprise server, you had to have a cloud. It's all very hard. But this technology is diffusing so quickly. And this is why your notion of a verifiable web, you're underselling how valuable it is. How are we going to operate without understanding some basic things about truth? I just don't know. I don't know how democracies operate without it.
Right. I think that's the underlying idea behind a lot of the work we do, is that we want to verify certain key aspects. Right now, there's only certain applications that rely on that key verifiability. But I think realistically, as the trust issues between society and systems grow, you know, more and more, basically the verifiability becomes more of an important aspect for everyone to interact in a reliable way. Because eventually, you know, you won't be able to trust a brand to take your money. You won't be able to trust some counterparty to send you information unless there's a certain level of verifiability. And that need for verifiability will only get greater as more things break down, right? Whether the banking system breaks down or whether the information transfer through social media or news breaks down. Basically, as there's more and more of these breakdowns, creating a reliable, verifiable world becomes increasingly important.
I would suggest for your audience that the single most important thing to do is to get control over identity in a trusted way, right? So to the people who are working on name services and so forth should somehow integrate into the Chainlink system in such a way that you can get that kind of security. Without it, how are we going to run life? How are you going to know what somebody says is true? How are you going to know? I mean, you're already working on trusted payments and things like that. I'm thinking largely that the information war is now between the people who believe in truth and the people who are trying to destroy truth. And it's important that the truth side win. And I'm not talking about your political opinion. I'm talking about basic facts, right? The whole conspiracy things is, you know, is Elvis still alive? Those kinds of things. And without that, it undercuts the entire credibility of the system. I used to give this speech where I would say, you know, the internet's full of crazy people. You can just turn it off. Take the phone, turn it off, have a nice dinner. The internet is now so interwoven in modern society, you cannot turn it off. You have to deal with the problems. This upcoming problem of misinformation with lack of trust will be the defining political problem for the next few years. There are other problems, right? But the one that everyone's going to talk about is the scenario that you and I are discussing right now.
Yeah, makes sense. We see more and more applications that use identity data through Chainlink, and we're already a very large provider of identity data. But I can definitely see how people will want that to make themselves reliable in terms of their interaction with other counterparties. So that makes sense. Beyond identity data and beyond this provenance of content and ownership, where else do you see an interaction between AI and blockchains?
So one thing to understand is that most people now think AI is ChatGPT. AI is really a set of machine learning tools and training tools, which include, you know, very powerful recursive neural networks and other things that clever people will apply. So let's simplify by saying that for most people, they're going to be dealing with the equivalent of LLMs. In other words, if you're doing a Google search, you'll use an LLM. If you use Twitter, you'll be using an LLM. If you're typing a document, you'll be having the LLM help you edit it. Let's just assume that they're embedded. What are the problems? Well, there are obvious ones. These things hallucinate. They're easily attacked. They get their facts wrong. They can't really do math, although they look like they're intelligent because they kind of learned it in language. So LLMs are successful because of high computation, incredible computer science algorithms, and the fact that language composes a great deal of information inside of it. There are, however, many examples where you have to call out for something, where you actually need to know a precise answer. So the obvious next thing is the LLMs will have what are called tools. And the LLM, when it gets confused, it'll ask a question of a tool. And the most obvious tools are ones that are running on blockchain, because blockchain, when well executed, is going to be an accurate defender of truth, because that's designed to be that way. It won't have been manipulated by governments or bad actors because it's so well encrypted. So one way to think about it is that the blockchain stuff will provide data that will be that's accurate, that will be used by the LLM in its computation. And that's clearly going to happen. There are many other examples of tools. My favorite example is I'm doing a chemistry expert, and the chemistry needs to know the valence of something. And that's a computationally, that is a thing you can compute. So the system will just pause, compute the answer, and then keep going. And we'll see that in blockchain a lot.
Got it. So you see cryptographic truth, oracles, the verifiable web as a data source that LLMs will rely on for a kind of anchor point that they know to be true, so they can provide accurate results back to their users.
Exactly. And furthermore, if you think about Ethereum, the whole layer one, layer two stuff that we've talked about many times, it's all really a platform looking for apps, mm-hmm. right? So the platform is very powerful. There's a financial use case, which you're well familiar with. Most people after the collapse of FTX that I've talked with are focusing on various aspects of financial management with much greater security for obvious reasons. They're not busy building NFTs, for example. So if you think about it as a platform, what does that platform provide? It provides cryptographic truth. What does the LLM have precisely? It does not have provable truth. It's a natural marriage in that sense.
Right, makes sense. I feel the same way. I think that these anchor points of cryptographic truth generated by smart contracts, oracles, will give way to these kind of indisputable facts that both LLMs and people can look at and kind of have a base truth that they can rely on in making their decisions, in interacting with each other, in making collective decisions in democracy. All of these types of key decision points will need some kind of base truth that's not dependent on people's views, but is dependent on reliably proving it in a computational, encrypted, reliable way. So I think we're on the same page on that. So that's the stuff that's going into the LLMs. There's, you know, a number of risks that people see with LLMs and generative AI in general and all these types of things. And just being from the security world, I find myself thinking about how can we control those risks? How can we make AIs more predictable in how they use various systems? Do you see blockchains and smart contracts as another a way to manage the relationship with AI? So let's assume that there's huge amounts of value in blockchains, and then there's large amounts of value in existing bank accounts, existing exchanges. Is there a world where the value in blockchains and smart contracts, because it's private key based, because it's so difficult to manipulate, is a kind of value that maybe is more immune to any kind of AI manipulation?
Well, first place, you know, if you go back to zero knowledge proofs, the entire security architecture of blockchain, it's extremely well done. And the LLMs operate in a world of things which are not well done in this area. So you're exactly right. It's not clear to me that it makes blockchain worse. It almost certainly makes the AI better, if you see the point. In other words, it's not obvious to me that an LLM could make a secure system less secure, except that I might say, this particular blockchain system has known vulnerabilities, tell me what they are, and the system would then report what the vulnerabilities are, and then they could use that for a cyber attack. So I suppose if I think about it, you could have a situation where unless you have really, really tight control over your protocols and your encryption for your blockchain service, the LLM could give an evil actor ideas. One of the things that we're seeing is this information. Let's use an example. Let's say that there's a vulnerability in the latest version of Ethereum that's understood by 20 people. And it's true, and it's not broadly understood. It is perfectly possible that an LLM could discover that. And when asked, how do I take down a blockchain network? It says, oh, boom, and gives you the exact recipe of how to do it. That's not good. So I think that one of the things about this race is you've got to tighten up your security at every level for the reasons that you know.
Right. So the systems that are better built in an AI, generative AI world will be more valuable because they'll be less difficult to break. And the weaker security systems will become easier to break because AIs will be able to figure those out faster.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give an example. Some friends of mine and I were looking at the question of post-quantum encryption, which is a really important issue for businesses. But the biggest problem is that they have essentially hashed passwords that are not even encrypted inside their network. I assume that had been eliminated. So you see, we're sitting there, we're having this, you know, principled conversation about bias and attacking these systems and how they work. But the real vulnerability might be something very much simpler.
Yeah, something basic that people have overlooked through groupthink or something.
For all sorts of reasons. Also, especially if it's boring. You know, people tend to be interested in the interesting problems. So it goes back to, if you're going to build a professional platform, it better be secure from attack, and you better know that it's secure. You better red team it and all those other kinds of things. And then, you know, you're always nervous now. You're always nervous that there's a zero-day exploit that you don't know about that could take your company down.
Do you think it's easier for AIs to exploit centralized systems, single server systems that have been running for 10, 20 years? Or is it easier for them to exploit truly decentralized systems with thousands of nodes run across a multitude of computers run by others?
It's generally true that the more attack surfaces that are exposed, the more you've had opportunity to get better. So an example would be, a simple example is you had corporations that had their own email servers, and they always say, well, my email is secure. But let me tell you that Gmail is far more secure because Gmail gets attacked every second, 100 times a second. And so they've seen the arc of all the attacks. And I used to sell Gmail, didn't require too much selling on this point. So the answer to your question depends on whether the system is in heavy use. If the decentralized model that you're describing is both valuable and in heavy use, it's going to be very secure because it has to be. if the centralized system that you're describing is in heavy use and constantly attacked, using Gmail as an example, then it's going to be very secure. Usually, it's not so much the fact that it's decentralized or centralized. It's usually, have all the bugs been found? And the only way to find them is to launch it. There's only so much testing that you can do for a new system.
Makes sense. So how much transaction value has it processed? Yeah. How much value does it secure? How long has it been live? All these types of key things are key proof points.
And you're too humble to talk about Chainlink. Chainlink has passed this test. The Chainlink underlying architecture meets exactly what you're describing. The problem is that you work in an ecosystem of an awful lot of other people who have not been subject to the same, shall we say, attacks as you have.
Right. Yeah, I think that's right. With over $8.5 trillion in value processed and, you know, huge amounts of value secured at rest at any one time, I think the 4+ years on production with no real issues, I think that's meaningfully right. So thank you. The other thing with AI, though, that I've seen is that more and more smart contracts and blockchains want to use AI as computational resources. Sure. So one of the things that we do with something called Chainlink Functions is give blockchains and smart contracts the ability to interact with AI and LLMs and generative AI models of different kinds, for them to be kind of computational resources that properly determine trading strategies or any number of things. Do you think that blockchain applications and smart contracts will end up using AI as a computational resource?
Well, the whole vision of smart contracts was that you would have a scripting language that was embedded and powerful that could do precisely that. I don't think it's specific to AI. I think it's the fact that these are general purpose computational platforms. So I think the answer is yes. You're describing the inverse of my religion. My religion is you start with LLMs and then you occasionally call into a blockchain. You're saying we start with a blockchain, we occasionally call into the LLM. It's probably the case that both are true.
Yeah, makes sense. I think they actually have a very symbiotic relationship where the blockchains can define key things for the LLMs, and then LLMs can do certain computations that blockchains or Oracle networks just don't do. And then Oracle networks and things like Chainlink Functions can give blockchains and smart contracts access to that, just like they give LLMs easy access to various forms of cryptographic truth. So it's kind of a bi-directional relationship. It's unpredictable which one evolves first, but I definitely think it's bi-directional.
I think one of the things that it's useful to remember is that whenever you see something relatively new, and both LLMs, AI, and blockchain are relatively new, if these things are powerful and useful, they go through a industrialization process that's quite profound. I happen to be in a Nokia research lab looking at the latest in fiber optic technology, and they were showing me what they can do with lasers now. And I thought, it's unbelievable that they've been able to continue these gains. And it's because step by step, the evolution of the technology just gets more and more powerful. They've solved all sorts of distance problems and encryption problems and security problems and so forth, which bedeviled people 10 years ago, right? That's the nature of this technology. And if you get confused about that, buy a 1930s car and compare it to a modern electric car like a Tesla. It looks like a car, but you know, it's really quite different over that much period of time. Or use a World War II kind of airplane versus today's modern jets. We take this for granted, but we should expect it to occur in our joint industry much, much quicker, because it's largely software, and software matures quicker than hardware.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And I'm definitely seeing those big gains in what's being made possible. Kind of as a final question, right now, as we said at the beginning, there's a decent amount of centralization in how AI is run, and, you know, the costs are going down. So more and more people can run it, and people can even run it, you know, in their basement, as we said, on a home computer. Do you see that AI ends up being democratized and maybe being run in decentralized ways, where there's networks of people running AI together and gaining computing power and various benefits from doing it in that decentralized fashion? Or do you think there will always just be companies that kind of dominate AI because of their access to data or resources?
It looks to me like both are true. It looks to me that for the vast majority of companies, there will be AI-based systems that are in open source that they don't have to pay for, that they can use for whatever problem they have. So, you know, if you need something that would generate better language or better pictures or whatever for your business application, your banking application, whatever your entertainment, whatever you're doing, I think that's going to be fairly straightforward and they're going to be really good and they're going to be essentially free. To me, the real question is, where is the frontier going to go? At the moment, the frontier are these large companies with enormous amount of resources and these closed systems. They're not releasing the software. I was recently in a meeting where the open source people made the following argument. They said, the transparency of open source and the speed with which open source is improving will challenge and ultimately replace the frontier people. And of course, the frontier people said, no, 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 that's not correct. So I think it's fair to say that we've set up a race. And the race, I think the lower end, the bottom of the pyramid is well understood. It will be free, ubiquitous, everyone will use it. At the very tippy top, will it fundamentally be one or two companies with enormous money? I mean, billions of dollars and very specialized algorithms. I don't know. Or will it be a consortium of people who move very quickly? They don't have the resources, but somehow they manage to build systems the same. Now, I should say that this narrative of big, little, open, closed has been true for my entire life, right? My professional career was largely started on Unix, which has now been replaced by Linux. And that period essentially created what is now known as open source, right? We didn't call it at the time, but I did it with a number of my friends. So I understand it viscerally, and we won. And we won because we moved quicker than the big guys. But now you've got big guys who are moving as fast as the little guys with much better architecture. I just don't know.
Makes sense. I guess we'll just have to live and wait and see, which is the fun of being in these industries and seeing how things evolve.
Look, this is one of the great battle royales of the world, right? Who controls the arrival of intelligence and in what form? That's a very big fight. And what's nice about what's going on is you have enormous investment and enormous competition. So you can't say it's not going to be fun. All you can say is that it's overwhelming.
Yeah. And hopefully we can have some small role to play in it with cryptographic truth and the verifiable web. Really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us on all this, Eric. As always, your point of view is astute and truly insightful. And I really appreciate you taking the time to share it with all of us. Thank you once again. And it's always a real pleasure to see you.
Thank you, Sergey, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Chainlink is the industry standard decentralized computing platform powering the verifiable web. Chainlink has enabled over $9 trillion in transaction value by providing financial institutions, startups, and developers worldwide with access to real-world data, off-chain computation, and secure cross-chain interoperability across any blockchain. Chainlink powers verifiable applications in high-integrity markets for banking, DeFi, global trade, gaming, and other major sectors. You can learn more about Chainlink by visiting chain.link.